more Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
Thought the intentions were good. You know, these guys. You know, anyway, we got the right type of guys. It was a tough day, but you know, tomorrow we'll gather ourselves and then get ready for the next one.
Tom Thibodeau last night at the United Center after the Bulls' 98-86 loss to the Hornets. David Haw, Mark Carmen, and for the Cap Man, Cap and Haw, CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com. Let's bring in Casey Johnson from the Chicago Tribune, who covered the game with me last night. Was there in the somber Bulls locker room afterward and had a lot of great information in this morning's paper about the choices ahead for Derrick Rose. Good morning, Casey. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing well.
So last night you heard Tom Thibodeau talk about how the effects that the shocking news had on his team, how they have to get past it because the games keep coming. You also were standing right there next to Joakim Noah when it sounded like, you know, he conceded that mentally it had been a draining 24-hour period. How long do you think this hangover lasts? Because you were there the last time chronicling every step of the way when they lost 11 out of 14 after Derrick Rose injured himself in Portland.
Well, I think they're a better team than that last year. And I also think Tom made a good point yesterday that happened early in the season, you know, when there's been so much buildup to his comeback from the first knee injury, the torn ACL, and they're on the West Coast at the start of a long road trip when he tore the meniscus for the first time. So this team is more established. They've obviously got a nice body of work behind them. I did think that last night was fairly predictable in terms of the emotional letdown. And look, they're obviously not as good of a team without Derrick Rose. I don't care what you want to say about his play or his statistics or how he's played this year. He demands a double team, and he gets the ball at the court, and he frees up opportunities for his teammates. So there is going to be a letdown. They're going to have to overcome a lot by committee. But I certainly think they're better equipped this season to handle it than maybe they were last season.
Casey, do you get any sense that the Bulls management is blaming Tibbs for this part of the Rose injury process?
Not one bit.
Neither do I.
Sorry for the short answer, but I mean, anyone looking for blame in this, look, Derrick Rose is injury prone. I mean, there's just no way to get around it. It's happened now since the start of the lockout season, and these are serious injuries we're talking about. And you know, his body is, you know, his knees are breaking down, and I wouldn't be surprised if this is not the last meniscus procedure he goes through. So anybody looking to assign blame for this, I think, is short-sighted. I mean, there's no blame for Tom Thibodeau here.
Joined by Casey Johnson, the Chicago Tribune. Casey, you've done a nice job of making clear that there is optimism that surrounds this latest injury and setback, and that there is a sense that this could be, if all goes well, as a 3 to 5 week recovery time, if things go as planned. Now, it's Derrick Rose, so things don't always go as planned in his recovery. So I guess how do the Bulls balance that optimism, which they might have, with wanting to protect themselves from, you know, not falling too far into this pit of depression, and maybe going out and getting a player like a Nate Robinson or somebody else to fill that void while Derrick recovers?
Well, I thought Tom addressed that pretty well yesterday. I asked him directly. I mean, I get the sense, and, you know, you can trot out the usual suspects, the Mike James and Nate Robinsons, the Gennaro Pargos. I get the sense whoever they add, he's not going to be a rotation changer or season savior like DJ Augustine was last year. I mean, that team had specific needs. They had, you know, only played 11 games when Derrick went down. He had appeared in 10 of them. So that was a different scenario. This team, the roster is the roster. And, you know, Heinrich and Brooks are going to be playing point guard. Butler's offense has improved to the point where, you know, you can count on scoring from him now. This team has Gasol. So, I think you kind of move forward with what you got. Obviously, maybe add a guy for insurance or some spot minutes, what have you. And then just if you get Derrick back, it's a bonus. And that's, I think, the way the Bulls – I don't think – that's the way I know the Bulls are going to perceive and look at this. And whoever comes in is not going to be, you know, playing 35 minutes a night and having the ball in their hands a lot, even if it's Nate. I mean, the way I see it, Brooks is kind of playing the Nate role this year. If they add him, sure, there's a possible score for spot minutes. But the rotation to me is pretty much established at this point of the season.
So you don't see Doug McDermott cracking that rotation a little bit? Come on.
Hey, let's just the only way Doug McDermott's going to be mentioned these days is an example of coming back from meniscus surgery in 4 weeks. All right.
You know, Casey, last night I'm looking at the statistics in the fourth quarter, and certainly beyond the sense of it was a blah night at the UC, but things were discombobulated on the court as well. I mean, Mike Dunleavy didn't get enough shots. Joakim Noah, I didn't think the offense went through him enough, and I don't think his opportunities that he has to take and they have to take advantage of now with Derrick Rose not involved, I don't think he was a part of the mix. Certainly Gasol got 25 and 13 and another double-double. Jimmy Butler had an off night. But how long do you think it will take for these redefined roles to result in a consistent offense that flows better than it did last night?
Well, that certainly is the challenge because, look, Brooks, I mean, this isn't Aaron Brooks' fault. He's a scoring point guard, shoot-first point guard, who's now going to be in a different role where he's going to be asked to run the team. And I asked Tom post-game, you know, would you prefer to lock into a starter? And he said he hadn't really figured that out yet. So, I mean, Heinrich could start again at some point. But to me, this is a different offensive team than last year also in the sense that you've got shooting now that can spread the floor. Tony Snell's played really, really well lately. He knocked down 2 out of 4 three-pointers again last night. I think you need – this is the challenge. You've got to figure out a way to play with pace, get the ball up the court, spread the floor with shooting. You're not going to have Derek to break down defenses anymore. And, it's weird because – again, you break down Derek's play all you want. He got the ball off the court consistently. He played with pace consistently, and he created opportunities for other people consistently. And that's what they're going to have to try to replace. And I do think it'll be an adjustment for Aaron Brooks to fill that role. I don't think it's going to happen right away.
Text line is coming in here, Casey, and there's a good one from the 312. It says, hey, Casey, does the injury impact Tibbs coming back next year? And I know it's speculative, but what do you think if it turns out that Rose can't come back, they go out in the first round? Do you think that has any impact on Tibbs' future?
Here's the way I'd answer that, and I've been asked that other times, other places. The relationship between Tom and management is what it is. That's completely mutually exclusive from the Rose situation. I mean, the Rose situation isn't going to help maybe their championship aspirations, but the Tom situation is not a make or break by whether they win a championship. The Tom situation is going to be decided by ownership if they want to decide to come in and try to salvage that relationship or not, and it's going to be based on Tom's feelings too. I mean, Tom could just walk. I mean, the relationship is, I've written this, I've reported this, I stand by it, it's beyond repair. It's not coming back, it's not going to change. It's just a matter of whether or not ownership wants to come in and say, hey, look, you guys, this guy's under contract, he's an elite coach, get along. Or it's a matter of if Tom just says, I'm done with this. This is a two-way street. This is not a broken relationship on one side. This is a broken relationship two ways. So the Derrick Rose injury has absolutely nothing to do with that situation. This is not based on job performance. Tom's proven he wins. This is based on a relationship that's gone sour.
Totally agree with you, Casey. Casey Johnson from the Chicago Tribune covers the Bulls. But I do think I wonder this, and I don't know the answer to this, and I think it's impossible probably for you to answer, but I'll ask it anyway. Beyond the relationship issues with Tom Thibodeau in the front office, do you think that this latest setback, which seemed to have caught a lot of people off guard, does it affect the way the Bulls view their ability to win a championship in the next year or so? I guess, does it reset the clock in any way because Derrick Rose is a guy that they can't trust to stay healthy for an entire season, that maybe they can't count on to be who they maybe thought he was? I don't know if that's fair, but I do think it crosses your mind when you go through something like this.
Right, but again, to me, that's kind of separate from the Tom issue.
Because, it is, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, so if you reset the championship clock, does that mean that you try a new coach? I mean, regardless, they're going to try a new coach if they decide they just can't stay in the relationship anymore. And again, I want to emphasize, this is a two-way street. This is Tom Tom having a lot of frustration as well. And if Tom sees a better opportunity, I can see him walking from the last few years on his contract. You know, mutual parting of the ways, like a Harbaugh situation. Although I guess Harbaugh has disputed that in the time since. But what I would also say is that they retooled the roster last summer, and they did it with a championship window in mind tied to the Gasol contract, but also trying to infuse the roster with some young, you know, pieces. I mean, you can make the case, even though McDermott hasn't played, he's still a lottery pick. You can make the case they had a two lottery pick talents last year, because Mirotić certainly would have been a lottery pick if he'd come out later. So they retooled the roster with a championship window of 3 years tied to the Gasol contract, while also building for the future. Obviously, Derek's situation is giving pause to, you know, championship aspirations this year. But who's to say that with some development that they can't, you know, rebuild the roster quickly and be right back with a championship window with Derek just a piece tied to those other young guys? I mean, that's the challenge that management faces now. But, you know, his contract is also very prohibitive in terms of movement because he's making so much over the next two seasons.
Here's another one that you probably can't answer, Casey, but what's your best guess? They go in, they find it's just a minimal repair. He can be back on the court in a month. Do you think Rose will be up for playing?
I can't answer it. If you're asking, I mean, I'm totally guessing here. Right. I think he plays because I think he – and I know – I think he – look, he's missed two seasons, and all he wants to do is play basketball. And he talked about all he wanted to do was stay healthy this year. If it is a minimal situation, I see him coming back.
So I think so, too. I think this is a little different than the last couple times around. But that will be the drama, and that will be the speculation. And until he does it, I think the physical challenge, as I wrote this morning, is probably not as great as the mental hurdle that he'll have to clear.
And, no question. It's we're all guessing here because, yep, you know, Rose certainly raised that debate with his decision to set out the 12-13 season after the ACL tear. So I just get the sense that he understands how. Yeah, and look, he's missed the game. I mean, he hasn't played in two seasons, and he talked all he wanted to do is stay healthy this year. And if this is as minimal as they're hoping that it is, I see him coming back and playing this season.
Casey, thanks a lot. Enjoy the day. No practice today, so take a little bit of a break.
You're gonna get to see.
All right, thanks, guys.
You're gonna get to see the best player in the NBA in 3 years tomorrow night at the UC.
Andrew,
that'd be Andrew Wiggins, sir. You know who I'm talking about.
Casey
They're
Johnson.
To a two-year extension. I thought you were talking Garnett, the original gangster.
Thanks a lot, Casey. Casey Johnson, Chicago Tribune, covers the Bulls. Andrew Wiggins, you think that's your guy?
Andrew Wiggins is going to be the best player in the league. 3 years, it might be slightly before the LeBron window is closed, but I think I'm about right on that, actually.
All right.
He's a monster.
I'll hold you to that. Mark Carmen in for the Cap Man. David Haw, Cap and Haw, CSN Chicago, and WGNplus.com. When we come back, Carm, switching to hockey.
Yes, sir.
Patrick Kane out for 12 weeks. What that does to the Blackhawks' chances in the postseason, how that makes it easier, perhaps, for Stan Bowman to go out and get aggressive. Cap and Haw, CSN Chicago, WGNplus.com.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN+.
Nah, live, it looked a little dangerous.
Joel Quenneville talking about the hit on Patrick Kane that resulted in him breaking his collarbone and sitting out the next 12 weeks. Cap and Haw Show, Mark Carmen in for Dave Kaplan, who is doing a college basketball game tonight. Expected back tomorrow, weather permitting. CSN Chicago, WGNplus.com. Carm, we're going to shift gears here from the Bulls to the other crisis in town. That is the Blackhawks. A surreal night on Tuesday when Patrick Kane went down 2 hours before the Derrick Rose news broke. And Patrick Kane underwent successful surgery yesterday to repair his left collarbone. I think that's the good news. Then the news that people sort of dreaded, but it came anyway, 12 weeks. 12 weeks from yesterday was May 20th. May 20th would put the Hawks, well, let me rephrase that. May 20th is during the Western Conference Finals, the beginning of them.
It'll be when the Blackhawks are in the Western Conference Finals.
Okay, you're saying that optimistically. I think that it is possible I don't want to sound like a homer. I think Mark Lazarus, who we'll talk to at 10:25, made a very good case for why they still could be the Blackhawks, but they have some work to do. Hockey's different than basketball. I think you can replace one guy because it is more of a team sport. There are lines and it's hockey, baby. You know, it's different dynamic. So I'm not disagreeing. At the same time, Patrick Kane has meant so much to this team's victories, every single one of them. And you look at the percentage of offense that he has supplied. You don't replace him with one or even two guys.
That'd be 38%, sir.
Yeah, 38% of the offense.
That's a big-time percentage.
So I don't know about the first two rounds. I think they can, I think they can beat the Blues and the Predators even in the first round if that's the matchup. I don't know what the matchups will be. You don't know how far the Hawks might fall.
You think they can beat Nashville, really?
I think they could because I think that it's still the Hawks and they still have the playoff experience. You worry about the teams that they don't match up so well against and they have had bad luck against. And I just think you don't know. You're concerned. Your concern level went up when you found out it was more than 7 weeks, more than 10 weeks. It was 12 weeks, 3 months.
You're asking for a lot of guys on that team to flip a switch that has been on the off for a long time. I mean, Brian Bickell, Patrick Sharp, Johnny Oduya. The list is pretty long here. Corey Crawford, can you stand on your head for a while? Or Scott Darling, whatever.
No, Corey Crawford. Okay. Scott Darling is not going to be your playoff goaltender. Okay, Cap? It's not going to happen.
Well, okay, I was more saying just on the regular season, okay, if he's going to get some burn here. But you got to, hey, we could use some 1-0 wins. You're going to be losing some offense here. Whoever's in that, if they want to give Scott Darling a couple moments and time to, I think as you said yesterday, maybe throw a little extra motivation under the Corey Crawford fire here, if you will. They're going to need a lot of players to step up and do things they haven't done all season long. And is that possible? I suppose, but I wouldn't bet on it, right?
They need Brian Bickell and Andrew Shaw to resemble their playoff selves. I think Mark Carmen. I think Mark Lazarus wrote that this morning, and I could not agree more. You need Patrick Sharp to stop being invisible, to step forward and to be the veteran goal scorer that you are paid to be. You need everybody to do a little bit extra. You need Teuvo Teravainen to remind us of why everyone went gaga, including myself, last year when he came up and had the Teuvo moment. Welcome to the NHL moment. That was a great night. And then, not so great. You need everybody to do a little bit more.
Right.
You need Sam Bowman to do a little bit more, too.
If you want to be optimistic, and Mark Lazarus coming up in about 5 minutes or so, read Lazarus, and everything that he puts in there is what they need. And the Teuvo part, it's going to be up and down, but a guy with that much talent in this circumstance, you'd like to see him get a shot to be on the ice a bunch, I would think.
There are indications that Stan Bowman is taking advantage of Patrick Kane going on the long-term injured reserve, and you get a prorated salary cap break, and there's some space, and there could be an opportunity there for the Blackhawks to strike, to go after a veteran defenseman, which they sorely need, and also a forward to supply some offense, which they now sorely need.
Who do you want over there?
Antoine Vermette.
Okay.
Maybe. He's still available. A couple of the trade options were, when the Kings pulled the trigger on Sequeira from the Hurricanes, mm-hmm, that hurt the Hawks because they struck first. And the Kings are playing well, and they made the move, and you worry about the Kings automatically right now. You worry about the Kings in the playoffs. Can the Hawks get through the first round? Maybe. Can they get by the Kings if that's the second round matchup? I don't know.
Hockey playoffs are so unpredictable, right?
Well, they are.
I suppose anything's possible. Let me flip it the complete opposite.
Why, who do you want? You want Jágr?
No. I'm leaving you. That's your job right now. I can't.
I don't want. I didn't advocate for that.
No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying you got more hockey. I can't. Okay. I can't jump all the way to picking players off a roster. Okay. So I got to stay in my lane here. That's your job. You got a kid on the ice. You've got more talent that way. I'm going to trust you. I'll ask you this, though. From the standard hockey fan, I enjoy the sport, but not expert level. I'm just going to put myself in the honest corner. Do you consider going the complete opposite way, knowing that next year's roster is going to be a whole lot different and you need young talent? Do you maybe say, you know what, Kane's out. We haven't played great all season long.
Absolutely not. Don't even go there. You're in it to win it now. You are in it to win it now.
Okay.
You are on a – it is February 26th. You have an opportunity this season. Patrick Kane's injury notwithstanding. You are going to go for it now. You have no other option. One goal means something. One goal means something to that organization, and it should, because they have enough talent in a fluky game that hockey is to say that they're going to get into the playoffs and something, you know, they can win a series, they can keep going, and there's reason to believe, as bad as they have played since January 1st, and that's relatively speaking, they still would be foolish to do what you just suggested.
Pretty small percentage,
though,
right?
They still would be foolish to do. Okay. I'm not going to call it a foolish suggestion. I'm just saying that they would be foolish to do what you suggested. Nope. Do you see what I did there? I'm splitting hairs.
That's fine.
I'm being diplomatic for you.
I appreciate it.
For your case, NBA boy.
That was very nice of you.
312-235-2525. Dan is in South Bend. Good morning, Dan.
Hey,
Dan. How are you?
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm just I keep track of the Vegas odds. I like to play a little bit of, you know, bet the Hawks and the Bulls here a little bit. I wanted to give you an update on the odds that have gone. We're talking about Hawks and Bulls earlier. Put it this way, you know, both of them are going to be missed according to Vegas, because Vegas has the Hawks going from 6-1 to win the Stanley Cup to about 11-1 now, which is obviously almost twice as what it was, and the Bulls go from 8-1 to 20-1. So anybody, you know, questioning if they're going to be missed by their prospective teams is probably a little short-sighted, because obviously Vegas, who does that for a living as well, kind of says they're going to be missed. So I'll let you guys talk about that.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate the information from our Vegas correspondent living in South Bend. I think the Bulls will miss Derrick Rose more than the Hawks will miss Patrick Kane, because I just think the Hawks are better equipped to deal with their roster with that sort of loss. And I don't even – it sounds even uneasy coming out of my mouth, but I think that's what I believe.
No, you could say it. Listen, NBA players, they play 40 minutes out of 48. Yeah. You know, you play a third of the game. It's just a different sport. You can't – one player is going to have a bigger effect on the basketball court than on the ice. That's just a fact.
Yeah. It's just hard to say, Carm, because Patrick Kane was having an MVP-type year, and he was on pace to be – that guy.
They're going to miss him. I'm not saying that.
They're going to miss him, and we're going to miss him. I mean, there's nobody more fun to watch, whether it's a shootout or just an open ice, controlling the puck and doing the trick stuff. And it's just, there's no, and I've said this before, for me, there's no more entertaining player in Chicago sports to watch than Patrick Kane. And the next 12 weeks, it's like, he's gone. There's a loss. There's a void. All right, we're going to talk to Mark Lazarus coming back after the break from the Sun-Times.
He's going
to
be all right, though. He's going to come back strong, D-Haw.
Do I sound a little distraught?
It's going to be okay. Maybe not this year, but you'll get him back next year.
Mark Carman in for the Catman. David Haw, Cap and Haw, CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com.
It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
Threw it around. Patrick.
What a play from behind. Terrible move by Petrovic. And awkward fall to the boards by the NHL's leading point producer. Fortunately, starting to scrape himself up off the ice. But that was a bad fall and a bad play by Petrovic. And you can see some discomfort upstairs for 88. That is not looking good.
Captain Haw, CSN Chicago, WGNplus.com. We are talking hockey. And pleased to bring into the program Sun-Times beat writer Mark Lazarus, who is in sunny South Florida, apparently well-rested as well. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Oh, I'm warm. I'm well-rested. I'm in a good mood. How are you?
That's great. That's good to hear. So I enjoyed your column this morning in the Sun-Times. This isn't the end is the headline. Team still has talent, resources to soldier on. Without Kane, you make a lot of excellent points, Mark. I think that there is a sense of obvious and understandable dread and despair after seeing Patrick Kane go down. And the 12-week prognosis, which may be a bit conservative but still understandable, leaves people feeling like, oh boy, this is not a team that can get to the third round of the postseason without Patrick Kane. And yet you make a pretty good argument of why, objectively, that may not be the case, how would you summarize what you wrote this morning and why all may not be lost for the Blackhawks?
Well, if you look at this roster, I mean, Patrick Kane has been carrying it for 60 games now. There are so many guys that are underachieving right now. Patrick Sharp is underachieving. Andrew Shaw is underachieving. Brian Bickell is underachieving. If these guys can get to the level that we're used to seeing them, especially in the playoffs, those are three big-time, big-stage playoff kind of guys, and we're in that right now, then that's going to mitigate a lot of the lost offense by Patrick Kane. He is only one player. He does only play 20 minutes a night. As important, as great, and as valuable as he is, he's just one guy. And you look at the bigger picture here. Kane right now, they say 12 weeks. Like you said, could be conservative. That's the conference finals. To get to the conference finals, the Blackhawks are going to have to get through the Blues and probably the Predators. Now, how much faith do you have in the Blues and the Predators? Not really playoff-tested teams. The Blues flame out every year. The Predators have never done much beyond win a round here or there. How much faith do you have in them come the postseason when it really matters? I'm not saying that they can't do it. I'm just saying there's a lot of X factors at play here, and it's really silly to write off the Blackhawks just because of one guy, even if he is the best player in the league.
I love a guy who lives in an optimistic world, Mark Lazarus, but okay. You've got Patrick Sharp scoring again. You got Bickell and Shaw going playoff versions.
A lot's got to happen. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, you're speaking of a lot of things here, sir. What gives you any real confidence that these guys can just, you know, flip the switch? Okay, Kane's out. You got to step up.
They do it every year. Every year we see these guys flip the switch. And here's the thing. You don't need all of them to get to a super high level right away. If they all chip in a little bit. This has been a very top-heavy, one-dimensional team lately because they're getting no scoring from that bottom six. They're getting no scoring from Patrick Sharp. You put Sharp on that second line, and if he can be what he's supposed to be, and we know he can be, he's the best goal scorer on the team. That includes Patrick Kane. If you can get back into some kind of groove there, you go out and you add a veteran forward, you know, you have all this money to play with now at the trade deadline. If it's a Vermette, I'd love to see them add Jaromir Jagr. How motivated would he be to make another cup run?
Mark, you really think that would be a good fit?
I think it would be a great fit. I think he'd be a guy who would kind of sublimate himself for the team. He would take a third-line role, and he would score goals. He's Jaromir Jagr, and he can still score goals, and that's what they need right now is goal scoring.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate.
Get a little bit from everybody. Yeah. You can mitigate the lost offense. Remember, this team hasn't been scoring for 2 months anyway, and they're still hovering in a decent position right now. You just need to get through this.
Devil's advocate, talking with Mark Lazarus from the Sun-Times, covers the Blackhawks, with Jagr. 5-on-5. I don't know. Power play, I can see what you're saying. At this stage of his career, isn't he going to be skating in mud? And do you think that you need another guy who may not be able to keep up with this pace?
Well, I'm not saying put him on the top line. I'm certainly not saying put him on the second line either. I think you put him in a role where, like you said, you put him on the power play. You put him in favorable offensive zone starts. You manage his minutes. He's a role player. He would be willing, at 43 years old, looking to chase a cup for the first time since 1992.
Yeah.
You're damn right he would take a smaller role and be excited about it rather than wallow away in New Jersey for the rest of the season. I think that he could be a valuable player. I mean, if you want to get Antoine Vermette, fine. You want to get Curtis Glencross or Chris Stewart or Jay McClemon, any of these guys, fine. But wouldn't it be cool to see Jaromir Jagr out there?
I think it'd be very cool. I just don't know if it's feasible, but I do like the idea because I think it just adds another star to a dressing room full of guys that are, you know, used to being around stars. So let me
also I need a good quote now that Antti Raanta's left. I need Jaromir Jagr.
Yeah, you are a Raanta guy. Who isn't a Raanta guy? I mean, he's a very likable guy. So let's talk about another guy who is a future star. We think, but Teuvo Teravainen comes in, and I think that you make an excellent suggestion that okay, now he's here. Let's see what you got. Let's put him with a goal scoring offensive minded. Line, put him with some guys who can, you know, get him the puck in good situations. That makes sense to me, but what do you think they will do with Teuvo?
I think he's going to wind up in the same spot he was in on the right wing with Bickell and Shaw. I don't think that's the right spot for him. I think you either put him on the right wing on that second line with Sharp and Richards, or you put him in center with Bickell and Versteeg, and you put Shaw at wing on the fourth line where I think right now he'd be at his best. He's not producing to the point where he should be on the line he's at right now. And I think he's a better natural winger than he is a center. I think if you put Teravainen in the center there with Bickell and Versteeg, you've got yourself a decent little line there. And Teuvo can do what he's supposed to be doing. He's a center. That's what he does. And then you put Shaw down there with Kruger and Ben Smith, and all of a sudden that's a pretty good, gritty fourth line that can do some damage too and score some goals. I think that's the best-case scenario here. I'm not sure what's going to happen, especially if they add a forward, which I think they will. Where is he going to fit? Is Teravainen going to be marginalized again? I think it's time to take the leash off and you know, let him be Teuvo Teravainen. We've seen the flashes Let's let him play more than 10 minutes. Let's let him play at center, and let's give him some scoring help on the wings, and let's see what he can do.
So in your proposed trades, by the way, and I like the Thabo idea, who's going? Is that an Antti Raanta, your guy, being traded? I mean, are they just trading draft picks? Which way are you going with that, Mark?
Ideally for the Hawks, they're trading draft picks right now. I don't think they want to move anybody quite yet, but they would be willing. I mean, at this point, the championship window is this year. It's not next year. They're not going to win the Stanley Cup next year. They have to move too many pieces to get under the cap. I'm pretty sure of that. So the window is this year. If they can move one of those guys that they have to move this summer and get better, I don't think Stan Bowman would be necessarily reluctant to do that if it was a Bickle or someone like that. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think they're entertaining the idea of trading someone like that to get a real piece that can do some damage. But if you look around, I mean, they have to get a guy with an expiring contract, and there's nobody exciting to do that. There's Jágr, there's Vermette, there's all these guys I keep mentioning. None of these guys are difference makers. None of these guys are 30-goal scorers. They're role players. They're third liners. I mean, it's not going to be that. There's no big splash to be made because everyone that was good, like Andre Sekera on defense, would have been a good addition. He got swooped up by the Kings because Dean Lombardi always makes that move at the deadline.
I know.
Other teams are making the big moves, and the Blackhawks they're running out of time here. I mean, nobody's going to wait till Monday. There's going to be no trades on Monday because they're all getting made yesterday and today. So, you know, time is of the essence now.
Let's take a brief moment to take a diversion to L.A., Mark, because this is a Western Conference, and you are the Blackhawks, and you're concerned about the other team competing with you for the dynasty label, and that's the Kings. And they were aggressive, and they got Sekera, and they are playing at a level that scares you, frankly, because this is what they do every year. They wait until about now, and they start getting it together, and they go into the postseason. They beat everybody. So clarify some things with this crazy NHL playoff format. What's the soonest the Hawks could play the Kings, and just how impressed are you that they're able to look like they're doing this all over again?
I'm not surprised at all. You asked me, the Kings are the Stanley Cup favorite right now. And this is what I always say about the Blackhawks, is these are the only two teams in the league that can do this, that can flip that switch. Everyone hates that cliche, but sometimes they're true. These are the two teams that can just turn it on when they have to. Here's how in theory, the Hawks could face the Kings in the second round. If the Kings are the lowest wild card, the eighth, essentially the eighth best team in the conference, they would play Nashville in the first round. They would move into the Central Division playoffs, essentially, and play Nashville, because Nashville is probably going to be your top seed. So if they beat Nashville, which, let's face it, they probably would because of the Kings, then the Hawks, if they beat the Blues, and if that's the first round, would get the Kings in the second round with the Hawks having home ice advantage. I don't think that's going to happen. L.A.'s already in third place in the Pacific. They're probably going to be in second place. They're going to pass Vancouver. Who are we kidding? So chances are Hawks wouldn't face until the conference final for the third straight year.
On the road to turning this around.
If they get that far.
Right. On the road to turning this around, is Scott Darling getting a lot of time in net or no?
No, I think that I think he'll start tonight just because it's back-to-back and you want Corey Crawford against Tampa Bay. But Crawford, he's playing too much. I mean, he played all seven games of that homestand until the last one, and that's just, there's no need to be doing that. I know Crawford likes to play that much, but you got to give him a little bit of a break. I think that's all this is. I think March is very busy, a lot of travel, some back-to-backs. So you'll see Darling a few more times down the stretch, but this is Corey Crawford's team. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Mark Lazarus from the Sun-Times. Before we let you go, Laz, to enjoy the sunshine in South Florida, because there's no morning skate this morning.
Yeah, let me out of here.
So tonight, this question came by the text line. Do you expect the quote-unquote physical response to the Patrick Kane hit by Petrovic, because they do play the Panthers in back-to-back games? And if you do expect a physical response, what might that be?
Oh, someone will pick a fight with him. It'll probably be Carcillo. I don't think there should be. It wasn't a dirty hit. I mean, Kane was pretty far from the boards. He barely touched him, and it was just a really unfortunate way that he fell. He was striving. I talked to the guys in the Department of Player Safety, and you know, the general feeling was you almost want to do something because it's Kane, and it sucks that he got hurt. But the fact is, it was just a really freaky, kind of awkward fall. He kind of lost his footing, lost an edge there. It wasn't a malicious play. Someone will do something, because that's how hockey works, but I wouldn't expect it to become a big production. This isn't Rafi Torres on Marian Hossa by any stretch.
Agree with you. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. Enjoy the day. Great stuff in the paper this morning.
Thanks, guys.
Mark Lazarus from the Sun-Times covers the Blackhawks, does a great job, and a very compelling read in this morning's Chicago Sun-Times. This is not the end. According to Laz, and I frankly agree with him.
Well, listen, it's time to be real creative then if you're Stan Bowman. If you really believe, they got to add on. It can't just be everybody turning the switch. You got to add on too, right?
You got to be aggressive. You got to go out and get the Jágr situation. I don't know. 43 years old. I love the idea of it. I love the star power that the Hawks tend to attract. I like that the thought of it. I just don't know what the reality will be with a team that flies around as much as the Hawks with a 43-year-old right in the middle of everything.
It's a great name on the back of the jersey.
It is.
43.
They could sell the heck out of that jersey, couldn't
they? That thing would fly. You love a J-A-G-R.
Yeah, they would. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curved 4K Ultra HD TV at Apt in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come to Apt today to see the complete selection of Samsung electronics or call them 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience. Shop Apt, pleasing people since 1936. Mark Carmen's in for the Cap Band. David Haw, the Cap and Haw Show. See us in Chicago and WGNplus.com.
Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast SportsNet and WGN Plus.
That would be the Wildcat, Northwestern Wildcat fight song.
Four in a row, baby.
First time since 1967.
That's a little depressing.
Mark Carmen was there last night. He's in for the Cap Man, David Haw, Cap and Haw. See us in Chicago and WGNplus.com. Want to get to college hoops, want to get to Illinois' loss last night, want to get to the big victory over Indiana by the Wildcats. But let's get to Nick at Arlington, who's been waiting for a while. Arlington Heights has a question about the Blackhawks. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Hi, thanks, guys. I want to thank you guys for having me on. But my question is, I know that Mark was talking about Antoine Vermette, and I think he's actually a great pickup because, you know, he has 30 points already this season, and that's more than Duncan Keith, Patrick Sharp, and Christopher Stieg. And I think if you add him at that third-line center position and get Shaw out of there, I think you're adding a lot of depth to that center line, which is what you need in the playoffs.
I don't disagree. I think he'd be a good addition. But, Nick, are you thinking that Andrew Shaw has no more value to you? I mean, he's not had a good year, but he does have – he has proven that he can help you in the playoffs especially. And I know – look, you have to be aggressive. Vermette makes a lot of sense on a lot of different levels. How he fits is a nice problem to have.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, Shaw's been going through a little slump right now, but, I mean, like Mark was saying, you know, some of these guys, you know, pick it up in the playoffs. But, I mean, I think that could be a little too late because, you know, I mean, picking up in the playoffs isn't what you want.
What about Jágr? What do you think about Jágr?
Jágr, you know, he's kind of those players who he's a guy you would love to have, but, I mean, 43, you know, only having him out there on the power play and stuff. I mean, he can definitely contribute, but
you say that like it's minimal, only on the power play. The power play is the source of the biggest problem right now.
That's true.
That would be a huge, I mean, a bonus, wouldn't it, Carm? Thanks for the phone call, Nick. Appreciate it.
No question. It's always a shocking issue for the Blackhawks. You have so many guys who you would think would thrive in a power play situation. It just hasn't happened. Let me read you one text here, David, because I'm curious what you think about this. 708, what happened to Patrick Kane is a perfect example of how the game has changed. No one would even consider cross-checking Gretzky along the boards. And I know that you thought the hit wasn't illegal and he's not going to be fined and all that type of stuff. But
It wasn't.
But I think that's – there's some part of that.
It wasn't a dirty play. You see that hit 12 to 15 times every game. I don't know if that's something I agree with. I don't remember watching Gretzky that closely. I wasn't following the league as closely as I am now. People say that. It was a different time. If the end result of that argument is that you need more fighting to act as a more of a bigger deterrent, I think that's an invalid argument. I don't think there's evidence that suggests that. I don't think this is an example of that. I think that Patrick Sharp responded very quickly to this. He took a shot at Petrovic, and it was a good shot. It sent a message. You didn't have to drop the gloves, which is nonsense to me.
You asked the question. Lazarus, let me ask it to you. What do you think happens tonight?
I think they probably take a run at Petrovic, and maybe Carcillo, if he's active, will try to drop the gloves with him because that's what Carcillo does. That's why he's on the team. I don't find any redeeming value in that. I think you want to be physical with him within the confines of the game. The fact that the fighting is still within the confines of the game, that's another argument. That's another day. I don't approve of it, but
he got cracked the other day.
He did.
He got. I mean, that was everything about.
It's embarrassing.
It was embarrassing.
That was the peak of embarrassment on a long day. That was the peak of embarrassment on the bad loss, and I mean, it just added insult to injury.
The Bruins came in, beat the living daylights out of him, and then Carcillo tried to get something. And then, you know what was even more embarrassing? Andrew Shaw, right before the end of, was it the second period? He tried to take a flyer at whoever it was, and he ended up decked in front of the Blackhawks bench. And
Andrew Shaw's going to do that. Andrew Shaw's going to do that every now and then. And I guess Carcillo, if he gets in enough fights, he's going to get embarrassed like that. But I don't know. I mean, Laz was right. You feel vindictive and vengeful because it was Patrick Kane, and how dare you hurt the MVP? How dare you rob Chicagoans of 12 weeks of Patrick Kane? You know,
right.
You're mad.
Yeah.
You're angry. You want to take it out on somebody. But there's a way to do that, and there's a way that crosses a line. And you've got to find that, got to find where that line is. And I think that's the tricky part. Let's go back to the phones, and we have William is in Rockford. Good morning, William.
Good morning. You guys are talking about Patrick Kane, and I think he's going to be just fine. Maybe a few years ago he might have gotten bummed out, but maybe set him back a little mentally. But you know, he's overcome so much in the last. We've seen such a growth process. You know, here's a kid from Buffalo, the hard scrabble streets of Buffalo, field trips to Niagara Falls and Fort Ticonderoga, struggles with Genesee Cream Ale, but he's overcome all that stuff. He's going to be stronger than ever. If we get to the third round of the playoffs against the Kings, so be it. If we come back, he zips around that ice, and that little puck is going to go in the net just like as always.
Thanks, William. Appreciate it.
Look at the optimism. Just waltz into the conference finals, no Kaner. That's bold, man. It's bold.
That's not realistic, I don't think. I don't know that waltzing into the conference finals. You never waltz into the conference finals. Toughest playoffs in all of sports.
Right.
The NHL playoffs. If they get that far, and that's a big if, without Patrick Kane, then it tells you that they're getting terrific defense, which hasn't been terrific. They're getting stellar goaltending, which hasn't been stellar. And they're getting secondary scoring, which they really haven't received. So there's a lot that has to happen for them to get that far. But it's possible with this team and with this depth and with the moves that are to be named later. I do have confidence in the Hawks. At this stage, I have more confidence in the Hawks going deep in the playoffs than I do the Bulls, even though they're losing a player that was playing at an MVP level, and the Bulls didn't.
Oh, there's no question. I have next to no confidence the Bulls are going to do anything special, and I think the Blackhawks, if I had to bet, it's a Blackhawk all day.
I promise we're going to get to college basketball, but we better clear the phone lines. Let's get to Justin in Springfield. Justin, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I was watching the show yesterday, and I heard Carmen speak upon putting Derrick Rose back in the game with up 18 with 5 minutes left. And I was just thinking that he's just driving these guys too hard. They're wore down by the time they get to the playoffs anyway. Jimmy Butler leads the league in minutes, and I don't understand that. But I think Foye Herberg is the type of coach that can take the team to the next level like Steve Kerr did for the Warriors.
Wow. Justin, you would like to replace Tom Thibodeau with Fred Hoiberg. Is that correct?
I think that Tom Thibodeau didn't have any coaching experience, head coaching experience at the next level. Neither did Steve Kerr. I think that Hoiberg is the shooter that Derrick Rose needs to take his shooting back to the next level, because Tom Thibodeau is not going to teach Derrick Rose how to shoot.
Thanks for making the phone call. That is a rumor that was forwarded by Jay Williams on ESPN, I believe, yesterday. He tweeted out the Fred Hoiberg to the Bulls rumor. Now, if Tom Thibodeau is no longer the head coach of the Bulls, maybe that's one that has some legs. To suggest it now, I think it's very speculative, and I am not going to sit here and think the Bulls are going to – I'm not going to state that the Bulls are better off without Tom Thibodeau under any circumstance, because I think he's one of the top two coaches in the league.
Tom Thibodeau will be unemployed for all of 5 seconds. there will be a list of teams coming after him if the Bulls decide that, or and maybe if Tibbs decides that he doesn't want to be here. As far as Fred Hoiberg, I guess him and Gar go back a long ways. Pax obviously knows him well too.
Well, he played here,
right?
He was a Bull. He was the mayor, right?
He was the mayor, and you know, in the middle of Hoiberg's career, he was a Chicago Bull. I think he fits kind of what they want. He's going to be non-controversial, Fred Hoiberg.
Can we figure out what they're going to do with Derrick Rose before we figure out how they're going to replace Tom Thibodeau? Is that too much to ask?
I don't want
to get... This rumor was out of left field yesterday. I don't know that the Bulls have done anything to approach anybody. They haven't gone through back channels that I would find that, you know, does it make sense for his name to come up? Of course it does. He's a successful college coach, but the last time they went to Iowa State, how'd that work out?
That is something that should make both fans just jump all around.
You can't hold that against Hoiberg. He, by all accounts, is a very competent head coach who would be a very good NBA coach. But I just want to slow down the speculation train just for a little bit.
And that name has been around for a long time now.
It's been around. So all right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk Northwestern hoops, Illinois hoops, college hoops with you because you were at that game last night, and that there's a lot to discuss.
LeBron's kids are already being recruited.
Yeah, how about that?
10-year-old.
Yeah.
Go get him.
Back off, people. Mark Carman in for the Cap Man, David Haw, Cap and Haw on CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com.